You don't have to be positive all the time. It's perfectly okay to feel sad, angry, annoyed, frustrated, scared, and anxious. Having feelings doesn't make you a negative person. It doesn't even make you weak. It makes you human. And we are here to talk through it all. We welcome you to These Fucking Feelings Podcast, a safe space for all who needs it. Grab a drink and take a seat. The session begins now.
What is up, my people? Welcome to an episode of These Fucking Feelings Podcast. I almost said the wrong name, right? But I'm gonna explain why. We have two podcasts. So we have a sister podcast, Trauma is Expensive. So I almost said that name. But okay, but this is These Fucking Feelings Podcast. And I am Micah. I have Crystal here with me, producer and our new co-host. She's stepping up a little bit. Now let's see if we can get her to ask Cheryl a question. So we got her in front of the camera, Cheryl. Now we just got to get her to talk, okay? And our special guest today is Cheryl Green. Now, Cheryl, I could go through like this whole introduction and try to introduce you, but like we believe here, your story is your story, and we want you to give it to our followers, our audience, if you don't mind. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Awesome. Yeah. So first, thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited. I am a mental health speaker and an author. I've got 6 books published, including 1 coloring book. And okay. My latest, it's super fun. My latest one is called You Had Me at No, How Setting Healthy Boundaries Helps Banish Burnout, Repair Relationships, and Save Your Sanity. And it's 40 plus years in the making of having to learn those lessons. What else do you need to know about me? I just got married this past March. Thank you. And I have 2 amazing rescue dogs. One of them is probably going to snore at some point during this episode. And I have 130 plus house plants.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's in my office. Michael bought it for me. And I've kept it alive this long. And I'm just, every morning I go in and I kiss it. And I'm like, good morning. I think that's why it's alive.
Or it can do well. Plants need love too. So,
what a plant. They can't be killed. I knew who I was giving it to. Like, do not ask Crystal to come house sit your plants.
I'm like, is it water?
Well, that's a question, because you got over 130 something house plants. Like, when you travel, do people come water your plants for you? Is that like a real thing?
So they usually last for about a week without being watered. So if we are gone longer than that, I do actually have a plant friend who will come over and take care of them, because my pet sitter doesn't necessarily need to touch plants.
Right.
So yeah, we've got special care for them.
Yeah, my mom had plants and she keeps ordering them. So just for the audience, I always make sure I put out this disclaimer. My mama lives with me, okay? I don't live with my mama. I pay the bills. So let's just point that out. I'm not a scrub, okay? But I love my mama. She's my best friend. But she was gone last week. She had to be in New York City for something. And when she was coming home, we were driving home, and she was like, did you water the plants? And I'm like, no. Aww. I looked at them. They looked like they was all right. So now let's get into this, your book. So yeah. It is, say it again. Oh my God.
It's good. Bye-bye. So it's You Had Me at No, How Setting Healthy Boundaries Helps Banish Burnout, Repair Relationships, and Save Your Sanity.
See, now, like, I need all that. So You Had Me at No. Is that learning how to say no?
It is. It's everything around it. It's the benefits of saying no. It's what that, like, the doors that opens up for you. Right. And it's really the importance of knowing that it's okay to. And I always like go back to, you know, everybody's heard that old adage, like, no is a complete sentence. And yeah, I mean, it's true. It is a complete sentence grammatically. Yes, all right. Good. But the problem is so many of us dealing with boundary issues, we don't know that we can actually say no. We don't know that we have permission and the right to say no. And without that, that's just like a, you know, fluffy bullshit kind of, you know, happy-ism.
Definitely. Well, you know, I was yes to everything. Yeah. And then this year, 2024, I said it was going to be my no year, right? Because I actually, unfortunately, I was re-diagnosed with cancer. And I feel like I wasn't taking care of myself because I was so busy taking care of other people that I let this bastard come back into my life when I thought we broke up a long time ago, you know? So now it's like 2024 is my year of no, but I don't know what that means yet. You know, it's like, I know that I need to say no to a lot of things. I need to stop overextending myself in so many ways, but it's still very hard for me to see people struggle in any kind of way. So I'm like a person that helps people out monetarily, emotionally, physically, you know. I don't ask me watching no kids though. I draw the line at kids. but you know, it's like everybody came to me for everything. And you know, like people say, hey, talk about plants. I was pouring water into so many people, but nobody was giving me water.
I like, you know, that.
Yeah. So, and then I started to realize, like, now here I am and I'm sick and people are still asking for water. And it's like, hello, I'm sick. Like, I need
my water.
Right. I need to focus on me. And this, you're seeing me in a good day because I had cancer. I was about to come up on my fourth year in remission on Valentine's Day. And in December, I was told that it was back. So it was really, really, like, I'm so close to that 5-year mark and, you know, thinking I'm about to be done with cancer. And they're like, hey, it's back. So it's like, it caused a lot of rock bottoms, you know, even to the point, like, I feel like I brought it on myself because I kind of lived my life preparing for it. You know, I lived preparing for cancer to come back, you know, like I knew it was going to happen. And I feel like, wow, did I manifest this? You know, so it's like, I had a lot of questions that coming back, but it caused like a really deep depression. And in that depression, when I felt like other people should have been there for me, there was nobody there. And then I said, I keep giving to all these people who I love and I know love me. But where is that love? Why can't I see it when I need it the most? So it's like, OK, I need to overcompensate for myself and love myself more and stop giving it to everybody else because
your cup is empty.
Is it? That cup is dry. Yeah. I'm like, I just need a rain.
He still gives love though.
He does. Yeah.
so maybe this will help. So the original title of this book was called Intentional Decision Making. Woo, exciting, right? But there was a reason that phrase was popping around in my head, and it was because I, like you, had a problem with yes vomit.
Right.
And that is like gross to some people. However, when you think about it, like if you're a people pleaser, if you want to do everything for everybody, then yes is coming flying out of your mouth before the question has even been asked. Definitely. You know, can you? Yes. Absolutely. What do you need? Yep. For sure. I'm there. Yep. I will do this. I will do that. I'll lend you money. I'll take care of this. Don't ask me about the kids. That's not a good plan. Me neither. We're just like puking yes at people. And the whole point of the book and of intentional decision making and all of that, it's not to say like, screw you to the world.
Right.
It's really not. Like, I still love doing things for people that I care about. Today, I did an unpaid speaking engagement for a nonprofit because I knew that the population they served could benefit from what I have to give. Like, I'm not saying, no, screw you. I'm never doing anything for anyone. It's more about kind of stopping that yes vomit and going through your head, your body, like, do I want to do this? do I have the resources to do this? And the third part of what I say is, am I willing to give something else up in order to do this?
Right.
And if the answer to all of those things is yes, go do it, serve, you know, give the money, do the talk, do whatever it is to help others. But you have to check in with yourself, because like you're finding out, if you just give, you've got nothing left over.
You know, my problem though is that I felt like I've been so blessed with an abundance, right? So it's like, how dare you say no? You know, it's like, that's the, you know, how dare you say no when you're going to turn around and buy a $300 pair of sneakers, you know? And it's like, you know, is it somebody's lights getting turned off?
Yeah.
You know, saying no to that worth proving the point when I'm just going to go and spend it anyway, you know? And it's, but then it's like, am I enabling people because I continue to do it, you know? So it's like, now I'm trying to think about it, but I'm still lost in all the answers. Like, this is my biggest struggle. I'm in a healing journey, and my biggest struggle is the weight of everybody else that has always been attached to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know what it's like to lose my own weight. You know, I know what it's like to shed those negative energies and those spirits and those things. But
I think that's why you do it, though, is because you know how it feels. So you just want to give because you don't want them to feel like that.
Right. But I feel like people have to want it for themselves. Do you agree? Right. People have to want to heal. But how do you get a society to heal when people think they don't have anything to heal from?
Right.
Oh, that is a way bigger problem than we can handle. I think it does go back to what you said, like, are you enabling people? And look, there are some people that for sure need our help. Like, right. There is absolutely no question. But I had a coach once who said, I am responsible to you, not for you.
Right.
And when we take on that responsibility, like, oh, well, if you can't turn your lights on, I'm responsible for that. If you don't have someone to watch your pets, I'm responsible for that. If you, you know, if you're not meeting your own needs, it is my responsibility to take care of those. And honestly, unless they're minors that are in your charge, you know, meet me there. I got dogs and now I have stepkids, but they're adults. Oh, so we're good.
Well, you married and you're like, okay. So
they're 27 and 31. No one's coming to me for like parenting advice. But yeah, I mean, it really is like realizing like, hey, the only person in this world that you're responsible for is you.
Right. Right.
And you can help people when you can, but you can't give yourself up to do it.
I know. And it's like, but enough about me. Let's talk about you and these.
Well, headlights. I want to know
we got to start from the beginning.
Okay.
Because I know you got this headlight story, right?
Yeah, I do.
This is the beginning of your mental health journey, wasn't it?
It was one of them. I've had a few mental health journeys. What was that? I'm sorry.
I think we'll always have some kind of mental health journey. Like, we're gonna climb one mountain and then look up and it's like, damn.
Yep, there's the next one. It was about 2.5 years ago, and I had gone through a clinical depression in my late 20s, and what got me out of it was service to others. I got involved in animal rescue, and I found purpose, and I found just gratitude, and I found a way to use my skills to make the world a better place and to help out the animals. And it felt amazing. What it also did was it created this perfect breeding ground for someone with unhealthy boundaries. Right. Because I was like, well, I can throw everything I've got into these animals and into this organization. I can give up my identity. I can give up my energy. I can not pay my bills because nonprofits don't pay a lot. But I was like, let me give everything I can to this rescue. And during COVID, I had a writing business, and all of my clients just disappeared overnight, which I know many, many business owners have that story during COVID. And I threw myself completely into the rescue. And as my clients started coming back, and as I realized that, like, oh, hey, I'm not making enough to keep, you know, a roof over my head and kibble in the dog's bowl, I have to take my clients back.
Right.
And I got to this point, I was working, like, I don't know, 15, 16 hour days at the rescue. I was, you know, working with all of my clients in the evenings. My parents were getting older. I was taking care of them. I was still taking on volunteer roles in other organizations. Like, I just kept piling it on, and I was crying constantly, and I cry a lot to begin with. So that's not like a huge thing, but I didn't stop.
Are you an ugly crier? Crystal's a crier.
I don't think so. I think I'm a cute crier. Okay, I do.
It was a very important question. I've never seen, like, Crystal goes from, like, you know, this beautiful person you see right now, like, a munchkin. Like I'm like, oh my God, were you created by Jim Henson? Okay. Oh, sorry.
And now that's what pulls me out of crying is I think of Micah saying, "You're an ugly crying." So then I'll stop and I'll go, "I gotta be beautiful."
How horrible am I? I'm sitting here hosting a mental health podcast, but I don't give her the chance to cry. I'm like, if you don't stop, you about to make me cry. Not because of what you're saying, just because you're ugly. No, I'm just joking. I love you. I love you, Crystal.
I know.
It's funny because when I was younger, I never used to cry in front of anybody. Like, I would, like, go hide in the bathroom, and it just got to the point, like, you know, like mid 20s, late 20s, when I was going through the depression and this experience, like, I'm like, I don't care who sees me, I'm crying everywhere. But you do, like, you just get to this, like, you're just full, and it just has to come out. And I was resentful of the people I cared about. Like, people I love and I wanted to help. I was angry. I was sad all the time. I was snapping at people. Like, it was bad. Right. And one day I was driving down the road. It was like dusk and, you know, the headlights were starting to come on. Mm-hmm. And I saw them and I was like, hey, if I just kind of cross over the median, like, I don't have to deal with any of this ever again. And it scared the shit out of me. I mean, I, even when I was at my lowest, like, I never contemplated suicide. And this was like a, whoa, something bad. And I realized, you know, I talked myself down from it. I was like, look, like, if I'm gone, I can't take care of my parents. I can't take care of my dogs. I can't be there to speak for animals, for homeless animals. And so I pulled over and I cried in a cute way. And and then I just kind of had this moment where I was like, okay, something major needs to change. And I went on this journey, you know, and thank goodness I did, because my life is much better. And so are many other people who I've had the opportunity to share this with.
And we wouldn't be here having a conversation about priors, you know?
Exactly.
Now, Chris, I cut you off, and I'm sorry. I know you had a question.
I wanted to know about the coloring book.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she was going to come out. See, this is why I don't let her talk.
Well, you weren't going to ask about the coloring book. Actually, you don't have kids.
So it's not for kids. Do not give this to your children. There's curse words in there. Well, just one. You can tear that page out if you need to. I was on a podcast and look, I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. Enjoy editing this, guys. I never know what's going to come out. And a friend was interviewing me on his TV show and he was like, so what's next? Like, my book had just come out and I sat there and I thought about it for a second. I was like, I'm going to make a coloring book. And he just kind of stared at me. This was August. He goes, okay. He's like, are you an artist? So I was like, not at all. He goes, how are you going to do it? And I was like, I have no idea, but it'll be out in time for Christmas.
And was it?
Okay.
Yes. Yes. God bless Canva. If anybody has not yet worked on that program, it's like Photoshop for idiots.
Right.
Amazing.
So I didn't see it on your website, though. Is that book on your website, the coloring book?
It's okay. So this is the first time I've ever had somebody else do my website, and I actually haven't had him update it. So yes, if you go to youhadmeatno.com, which is my other website that I do all the things to, it's on there.
Okay. Because I was like, I knew about 5 books. And then when you said 6, I'm like, oh, no, are you trying to tell me I don't know how to research?
Yeah. No, I've got a couple out there. It's been a journey.
Yeah. Well, your book is something I definitely want to buy, but I want an autographed copy. So we need to work that out.
For sure. For sure. I can do that. Might even have tears on it if I'm having a rough day.
Right. And Crystal, it's okay to ugly cry. Okay. It is. Like, you need to cry. Well, they know, bro. I mean, we joke a lot. That's one thing we do here. We do joke a lot. But she knows if she needs a moment, you know, like, take it. Me, on the other hand, so when I was like first diagnosed with cancer years ago, it's been like a 16-year battle. I had a chemical imbalance with it, and I cried like every day. Like, it went from being like really strange to then people were just used to it. So we're having a conversation, and they're like, hey, what's happening? I'm like, nothing. It's like, what you talking about to have some breakfast? Like, it was really, 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 really bad. So I ended up having like HCGs, which is like the pregnancy hormone.
Yeah.
So I went through like a lot of like pregnant feelings, and I'm like, Lord, I do not know why you do this to women. Like, I wanted a Milky Way. And do you know, I went to 6 stores and they did not have no Milky Ways.
And you cried.
And I cried because it was Milky Way. I cried so hard over these Milky Ways. Like, I had street teams out ways.
Oh my
so
God.
That I could, like, my friends was like, no, we're going to get you a Milky Way. You about to have all the Milky Ways you want. But you know what I think about? It's always funny because it's one thing I do use against women when they like, you don't know what it's like to be pregnant. And I'm like, I'm still pregnant. Okay. You don't know what it's like to be pregnant for 15 years. Okay. You have your baby. Okay. I'm still pregnant with mine. All right. So I know. So, but yeah, it's like the emotion behind it is crazy. You know, like to wake up and be like, I'm ugly. And I'm like, is this really like, I'm fat. Oh my God, nobody loves me. Like, bitch, you sleeping next to a whole man. But he don't love
me. Welcome to being a woman. Thank you. Thank you for understanding our plight.
You know what? I always think about like the spirit, if there's a spiritual reason behind it, because I'm like, I don't know why I'm the person I gotta understand. I don't want kids. Okay.
So, they want like, you to show every other man what we go through.
Well, it would help if I wasn't gay.
You have a platform though. Like, think about how many people you get to reach with this, right. The guys are like, maybe I should understand. Maybe I should get her a damn Milky Way when she asks me for one.
Right. No, if she asks your ass to go get her cheesecake, go get her a cheesecake.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't say she cries ugly. Because she's going to
cry. You are never going to live that one down, Micah.
Do as I not as I do. Okay. So now back to writing, like, because I feel like all of your books are mental health related, aren't they?
So they started out that way. My first book was Surviving to Thriving, How to Overcome Setbacks and Rock Your Life. And that was pretty much a book on resilience. It was everything I dealt with up until that point. My childhood, a whimbanger of a divorce, like all the things. And then going through that depression and, you know, my rock bottom moment was on the floor of the bathroom, just curled up in the fetal position, hysterical crying. And I couldn't get up, and I honestly didn't care if I ever did.
Wow.
You know, now, so
help in that, in your, because you were clinical depression, that like a diagnosis by a psychiatrist or
that, that led to a diagnosis. My stepmom kind of pulled me off the bathroom floor and was like, hey, this is not you. Something's wrong. And I did, I reached out to a therapist, and I was on medication for maybe 5 months to get everything straightened out. But that was also when like volunteering came into my life.
Right.
It's hard, especially like my background is in forensic psychology. Like I went to school to be a profiler and to understand like all this like abnormal psychology, and then to go through it and be like, yo, the textbooks do not prepare you for this shit. They do not. They don't. Like you're like when you're actually in depression or you're actually in anxiety and you're like, well, what did the textbook say about that? Like, does not do a damn thing. So yeah, it was kind of it was definitely a journey, but writing the book was part cathartic experience for me. And then part like, I can't be the only one that's feeling this way.
Right.
Like, let me share this experience through a non-clinical lens. Like, I am not a therapist, like, but those books didn't help me. So let me share this experience as somebody who's been on that bathroom floor, who's been driving into oncoming traffic and like, wait, what am I doing? So it kind of started out like that. And then I took people's advice that I shouldn't have taken. So much in my life has come down to that. I decided I wanted to be a speaker. And people were like, well, you know, nobody will pay for a personal development topic, so you should talk about something that affects business. And I was like, okay, I've been writing content for business for a while now. I started out writing books with fiction. So I have this like background in storytelling. Like, why don't I teach storytelling? And it kind of like went from there. So all of my books are for sure like steps along the journey. But now I'm back to personal development. I'm back to that mental health aspect, and I'm back to helping people like live better lives and feel better about themselves and be healthier. So,
okay. Now upon a bottom line.
Yeah. It's a good name, right?
Yes. I was like, I just got to get this book too. So that's another one I got to get right. 'Cause I'm like, once upon this bottom line. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit.
You know, it's funny. Some books you write the entire book and then at the very end, you're like, oh shit, I need a title. And that's some books they come with a title and then you figure out what the book is about. And that was one of those, like, no joke, amazing things happen when I shut up for a few minutes. I went to this like meditation.
Like, wait, they tell me I talk too much all the time. That's just, she's over there laughing secretly. She's over there secretly laughing when you said that. Like, because yeah, you need to take that advice. Shut the fuck up.
to you, but if you heard something in it, like, far be it for me.
It wasn't that I heard it. You should have seen Crystal's eyes when you said it. You know, she was like giving me like the side eye. Like,
Brilliant when you're quiet. Like,
shut the fuck up, Micah. Okay, sorry.
I mean, when he writes poetry and books,
yes,
he just needs
to quiet. No, but let me tell you, I wrote one book, right? And I don't advertise it. I don't even know how it's selling, but I did write a book, right?
Oh, you can't even see it, can you?
No. But and let me tell you, I sat down and I wrote this book, and I swore it was 1,000 pages long, right? It's called Love Beyond the Battle.
I love that.
Journey of Cancer and Redemption. So it was about my remission story, and I actually survived cancer through love. Like, I had to learn. I learned to love cancer, and I feel like it was through loving it that I was able to get rid of it. So it's pretty weird. But I wrote the book, and I was like, this is going to be like 1,000 pages long. And then, like, I got it printed, and it was like 62 pages. I was like, what? To my book. Like, I put my whole life in this, and that's it. Just 62 pages. Like, my story is 62 pages. Okay. Maybe I do need to shut the fuck up.
I went to this meditation retreat with a friend of mine, and I was sitting outside, hoping that nothing was crawling on me. And I was quiet for the first time in God only knows how long. And I literally, that title popped into my head, like, once upon a bottom line. And I'm just sitting there.
That's a good title.
I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, where did this come from? Like, what is it? Like, you talk about divine downloads. Like, that was just pure, like, all right, I'm meant to do something. And then I walked in, and I used to have the card up on near my desk. I don't anymore. But I was like, okay, like, universe, give me a sign. Like, if I'm supposed to do something, like, I need more concrete evidence. Like, I don't listen very well. And I walked into the retreat center's main office, whatever you call it. And they had this card on the table that says, share your story and help others. And I was like, wah, wah. Like, it was just their comment card. But I was like, okay. And I started writing the book, and I started doing like workshops and stuff around it. And it helps for sure. I mean, storytelling for sales is important, and I still like do those workshops every once in a while, but it wasn't filling like that soul need for me. Right. So I kept going, and I kept writing, and eventually this one came.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was like, oh my God, great, great, great title. But I wanted to go back now to something that you said earlier. Number one, it was your stepmom picking you up off the floor. Now, there's a lot of people out there that don't have a stepmom or people to do that for them. And there at those times, I know I was one of those people. And it's not that I didn't have it. I just never had a voice to share what I was going through. Mm-hmm. So people thought my world was fine when really it was like, the Transformers and the Megatrons internally at war. And somewhere there's still fish.
Gotta get the fish in there.
Yeah, the fish is still there. So it's gonna work. So and I guess my question, if it was a question, right? If I could get to it, like, shut up and get to the question. Okay. Is what do you say to a person, or what advice could you give a person who feels like they just don't care if they don't get up?
The world needs you. Someone needs you. You know, sometimes it is easier to help someone else when you can't help yourself. And I say that having gone from one side of the pendulum all the way to the other. There is that happy medium, but sometimes you are not in a position to focus on your own problems. And going out there, volunteering, helping somebody else. And that was what my stepmom said to me. She said, like, this isn't you, go help someone else. And if you don't have the stepmom there to say that, you're going to have to dig deep, and you're going to have to realize that if you're not there, someone is going to suffer. So even if you can't be there for yourself in that moment, be there for someone else, and know that it's actually going to help heal you too.
Right. That's really good.
Thanks.
First time anyone ever said that on this show. You know, it's always about yourself, 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 yourself.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, I feel like you can't take care of people if you don't take care of yourself. But then also, I know that the first time I started loving myself is when I fell in love with somebody else, because I saw, it wasn't you, Crystal, but I felt like this person was so great, or is so great, that they deserve this kind of person, and I'm not that person. So I use love as a mirror to help me now go search within myself. And now I ain't with that person no more, but hey, you know, it was.
But you made their life better.
Yeah. Right. And I realized that I was the one who deserved more love. And I was given more than I deserved. And I was holding them at a pedestal when really they were like part of the reason for my downfall. So, you know, but it was in seeing that, kind of like what you said, it was like in wanting to be there so much for him, I end up being there for me, but also seeing. So that, yeah, that's really good advice. That was really, really dope.
There's like one other aspect to this. And it's like, I know when you're in that state and you're so low, it's really hard to imagine that anybody else feels the way that you do.
Right.
You're like, I am the only one in the history of humanity that has ever like been on a bathroom floor crying. Like, you know, why am I even here? And I used to teach this when I talked about storytelling. There's, depending on the scientist you listen to, there's somewhere between 7 and like 42 emotions. like human emotions across the board. Like even if there's 42, let's go with the high number. Like
142. Huh, let me tell you.
Seriously, there's billions of people on this planet. Like, do you honestly think like you have the market cornered on sadness?
Like, do you know how hard it is to cry and laugh at the same time? Do you know how hard it is? Okay. And I do it cutely.
realizing that you are that you're experiencing something that other people have experienced, are experiencing, and realizing that when you open up to other people, it actually gives them the freedom and the space and the encouragement that they get to open up to you.
Right.
Right.
So again, like it's, you said the show is all about you. Like it's not all about you. Like there's, we're all experiencing this cluster F. I'm trying not to curse that much, but I guess considering the title of your podcast, I shouldn't worry. Yeah. Right. Clusterfuck of these like human emotions. Like we're all experiencing it. So like when you share, you're actually doing a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm going to tell you this emotion. I feel like no one else feels this way ever in history. Right. I was talking to somebody over the weekend. I was traveling and, you know, just getting random. I am the person that always ends up in a random conversation with people.
Everybody just pulls to him.
Yeah. And it's like, and you know, it was really bad because it was like, well, I was telling them about one conversation. I get on a plane and a woman sits next to me and she looks at me and she says, "Where are you going to?" And she's like, "Where are you flying to?" And I'm like, "We are on the same plane." Like, I just wanted to put my headphones on and have a moment to myself. But then I realized, I said, okay, wait, maybe she needs somebody. Don't be selfish. Yeah. Let's hear her out. So she's on her way to Germany. And do you know what my follow-up is when she tells me that? I hear there's a lot of Germans there. I said, you know what? I should have just left her alone. I should have just... I'm trying to be a good person and I should have just left it alone. She looks at me and luckily she just like laughed. And I was like, "I'm sorry. I don't like to fly." That's my excuse. It's like, I don't like to fly. I don't like to be in environments I can't control. Right. Yeah. So flying is one of them. I'm not in control of this airplane. And, you know, even though the pilot was cute or whatever, I don't know. You know, he ain't drunk. You know what I'm saying? So I did have to take this step, but yeah, it was pretty awkward. I'm one of those people end up in like awkward conversations with people all the time about life, and it's annoying a little bit. And there was a point to it and I forgot what it was.
Well, I think it was going to what she was saying, as you have to like just think about yourself, right? Think about other
people. Well, I was thinking about this. I ended up talking to somebody. We would talk about it in a relationship because, you know, the woman is like, "Oh, a cute young man like you, I know you're married." And I'm like, "No." Like, I ain't been touched by somebody physically in like 5 years. What are you talking about? Like, I'm single. And, you know, she came out and her thought was, she was like, "Well, you know, God is preparing the perfect person for you. You're going to meet him. You're going to meet him soon. There's somebody for everybody," and yada, yada, yada. So I get on the plane and it's like, I'm traveling back now, and I get on a plane and I sit down and my thought to myself is, what if there is not a person being designed for me, but really the universe protecting other people from me? Because I'm a person that has grown up with so much trauma that it's like, you know, a touch, if I don't know it's coming, it's triggering. You know, so it's like, wow, what if it's that I'm gonna be single the rest of my life, but that's just how my life is designed and that's how I should be.
And yeah, that's not deep, Micah.
Huh?
That's not deep. You can cry.
But no, I was just saying, it's like, do people think that way? You think there's other people in the world that feel that way?
I mean, I'm probably 100% right that there is other people that,
yeah, plenty.
Yeah. I'm like, who thinks that way about themselves? But, I was. And it's not because I think I'm a bad person or a horrible person, but I just know that it's like, I found safety and making myself safe, and letting anybody into that space is like really, really hard for me. You know, yeah. So it's like, you know, part of me sometimes. You know, people like, I was like, oh, I never meet nobody. They're like, you can't meet nobody if you're always at home.
That is true.
Be like, you got to put yourself out there, Micah. And I'm like, in this crazy ass world.
Yeah. Unless they like break into your house and you don't want to date those people.
Well, I don't know. It depends. But no, you're right. That's what I got cameras on the windows and one of those cameras everywhere. Like, I'm one of those extra security. It's really, really bad. I'm paranoid. Trauma is real, you know, and is expensive.
You start talking. He's like, where do you live?
Like, it's so funny. Like, it's so, you know, like a random stranger asked me, somebody asked me out on a date and we went on one date and I never heard from him again. It's definitely me. But I took pictures and I sent it to Crystal. And I'm like, here's his picture. Here's his phone number. Like, if I'm you like, don't hear from me in the next 6 hours, get his ass.
You got to have a buddy that knows where to find the body.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I'm like, no. And then and I think he thought I was crazy after that. So
he was like,
So anyway, Cheryl's like, is there a point to this? No, I'm just saying now. Trying to get some free advice. That's all it is.
I will say, while I am not a dating expert, I was
on dating. I was just thinking about those thoughts like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh God, everybody's thinking them. Please. No, I was single for 28 to like 42.
Wait, I thought you were 40. I thought you were 40.
I am 44 this year. So single until 41. Let's put that. But honestly, if I had met my now husband a couple of years earlier, I wouldn't have gone near him because he had his own shit to deal with. And frankly, he wouldn't have come near me because I had my own. So like, yeah, you have to work on yourself until you find that person. But yeah, there's no way. If we had met a couple of years ago, like he was an alcoholic. I wouldn't have even given him a second thought, and I was a disaster. So,
so keep hope alive, right? Keep hope alive.
Work on keep you, hope. Love yourself, all the stuff that people say that you're like, oh, I'm so tired of hearing this. Like, it's true.
See, I'm actually there. I think my biggest problem is letting people in because this world is so crazy. It's like, you don't know people, you know, and it's like, you know, I mean, we go back and we talk about that situation and like, we never talked again, but we never talked again because 2 days later, he texted me that he was stabbed. That's somebody I don't need in my life.
God, you know,
grown man. Right. You're a grown man. How are you getting stabbed? Like, what are you doing? And I didn't even want, and I see I was bad though, because I immediately blocked him. And I'm like, I didn't even hear the story. Maybe it was like, maybe he got robbed. Right. Like maybe he's a really good guy. But it was just the fact that that happened to you. Nope. Blocked immediately. Instantly. Like, I'm in the hospital. I got stabbed. Blocked. Like, and I don't.
It's funny because it was probably, I mean, this was before I got married the first time. So I was like early 20s. And I had a date with a guy. He was a customer at the bank that I worked at. And he had been like asking me out for really months. And I finally said yes. And the night we were supposed to go out, like, didn't hear from him, like just radio silence, nothing. And I was pretty depressed. I was like, well, you know, here I finally said yes. And he is just nowhere to be seen. He texted me on like Tuesday or something and was like, I really owe you an apology. I didn't mean to stand you up. I was in jail. And I was like, that is a damn good excuse for not going out on our date. And he was like, do you still want to go out with me? And I was like, no, I do not. Like, thank you for your honesty. And I'm sorry that happened, but good Lord, no, I don't want to go out with you. So yeah, maybe he got stabbed in a good way, but probably not.
I wish you the best. And I hope you heal them from your stab wounds. But,
I wish you antibiotics, but stay out of my life.
Look, you got snaps for that one. That was a good one. Right. And, but it's like, this world is horrible. We live in a horrible world. And it's funny because I'm healing, so I love everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But it's like, it's still crazy, the stuff that you witness. You know, I don't even, Crystal's going through a really horrible situation now, and we're probably going to do another podcast about it, so we ain't going to talk about it now, but it's like, it's like, why bring it up and not talk about it, right? We had to pull her daughter out of school for, like, bullying. We'll leave it at that extent, right? Because how bad the bullying got, where it got to a death threat. And it's like, how are you in school at 16 and someone's going to threaten your life?
Yeah.
It's like, what is wrong with this world?
I was sitting there and I was talking to the principal and I was just like, kids are cruel. Like,
oh, they're awful. And now they have new tools.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It's horrible. It honestly really is.
So, and now we're talking about how bad this world is. Come on, Cheryl. How do we keep the hope? What do we do
to stay boundaries? Truthfully, like, when I look back on my life and when I look back at the mistakes I made, and I put those in quotation marks because, like, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be, you know, in a great relationship. I wouldn't have what I have now and be who I am now if it weren't for that. However, so
are you one of those people that wouldn't change anything for the world kind of people? Yeah. And you know what? Me, I would change it all. I would give it all up. If they came to me and told me I could do it all over again, sign me up. You know how you said you don't let them finish the question? And they're going to be like, do you want to? And I'm going to be like, hell yes. And it's funny because I say this and people be like, but what if you're not born to the same mom? Or what if you're not this? Or what if you're not that?
Be who you are now.
And I love my mom. Trust. Yeah. Love her to death. But that is a chance I'm willing to take. Okay. Give me a reset button and I will start this.
But what if it's worse?
Yeah. Huh?
What if you don't?
You know what? Just the possibility that it could be better.
This age.
It's enough for me. The possibility that it could be better is a 50-50 chance that it could be worse or it could be better. Shit, I don't struggle enough in this life that I am willing to take that chance. I'm sorry. But I'll let you finish.
Well, they better replace you with another Micah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I am. I am one of those people. Like, I truly do believe we're where we are right now for a reason. And it's maybe it's for the people whose lives we're meant to touch and all of that. But I've still done some dumb shit in my life, you know, and I've gotten into some situations that, probably should have been avoided. And it's because of a lack of boundaries. Like, it's because I was afraid to say no to someone. It was because I took too many people's advice on something. Like, it was all of these things that could have been prevented if I knew how to stand up for myself. If I knew that I actually know more about me than someone I just met. And I just, a lot of dumb stuff could have been avoided. So yeah, I do believe that when we strengthen our boundaries, we actually help those around us.
Right.
Cause just like sharing your story and sharing those emotions, like, you give other people permission. It's the problem. I think it is the problem with this world, with Crystal, whatever's going on with your daughter. Like, that other person who's involved in this does not have boundaries. They were never taught them. They don't know when you keep your mouth shut. They don't know when you, like, don't let your crap spill onto somebody else. And it does, it causes a lot of problems and a lot of pain. And we all just have to learn. And it sucks, and you start learning, and then you have a setback, and you're like, damn.
Because healing is a journey. I feel like it's a never-ending journey. You will heal until you reach paradise, whatever that is. But,
yeah.
You know, the Bible says 120, so that's why. Look, I don't believe in God yet, but I believe that I need to be here, so I'm 120. Well, I say yet because I'm still in my searching stage. In healing, I'm trying to discover spirituality, right, Cheryl? So, but I have a problem with a God that, like, kills parents.
not that kills parents, but mm-hmm. allows people to die.
Yeah.
Only yeah, for me. So like you allow them to die and now I'm traumatized and I'm going through a depression and now, you know, this person was the love of my life and my life is horrible, but then I'm supposed to meet them again later. So you're going to take them away from a little while only to give them back to me. I feel like that's cruel.
Make me die.
It's hard to believe in a God that's cruel. So I'm in that search, right? So that's why I say, you know, like that I'm in that search right now because I know there has to be a creator. I mean, our world is so complex that there has to be something bigger than me. You know, but, you know, it's like, do we really know what it is? Or is it, you know, is it different, really different for everybody? You know, I don't knock any religion. I believe in the right of belief, you know, like believe whatever that you want to.
Yep.
I'm cool with it. And we can discuss it and we can talk about it. And I can see some stuff. I'm wearing a shirt of Buddha. Love some Buddha. You hear me? I got a Buddha in my office and I rub his belly every day. Okay. You know, but I also got elephants and I have their butts to the door because, you know, it's feng shui. You know, I have my cross and my rosaries. And so it's like, I have all these things and I feel like I'm okay. I can incorporate all of them. It's all a form of positivity. Thinking of something greater than you that's positive, that's love, right? So it's like, it's cool to think of those things, but I'm like you, I need the concrete. Like, come on, give me, you know, I was telling my brother, like, I never felt the spirit of God. Like, you know, people always talk, oh, I felt the spirit come on me. And I'm like, whatever.
It was cold in the room.
It was cold in the room. Like, I opened the door, of course.
Something. Air conditioning vents. I mean, come on.
But no, I'm just joking. I'm not saying that people can't. I'm just saying I haven't. So I did want to go back to another thing you said, and it was that you were on medication for 5 months. And I thought that that was also really dope for you to just kind of talk about, because I think that hasn't been brought up on our show either, really, that, you know, you may need to start there. That may need to, that's a, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's nothing wrong with medication. That's nothing that nobody here is saying, you know, but it doesn't have to be a life sentence, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Because you about to, well, I was on the meds and it was horrible and everything you're saying is wrong. And I was like, ooh. Is this the moment that I sort of shut up?
No, like, honestly, if you had asked me before I'd gone through that, like, I was judgmental as all hell. Like, I would read the textbooks and I would be like, man, how weak do you have to be to need medication? Like, just make changes in your life. Like, just shut up and make changes. And then I experienced it. And look, chemical imbalances are no joke. I think in this society, we have this lack of responsibility. And I say that like in reference to medication right now, because we're all looking for the quick fix for everything. Okay. Like, oh, hey, you're overweight. Like, don't worry about eating right and exercising. Like, just take a pill and it just melts right off you.
Now is a shot. You take a shot every day.
Like, just, you know, whatever it is. Like, and I think in a lot of situations, psychotropic meds, like the you know, mental health medication is used in the same way. And I'll be honest, like I walked into the doctor, my pediatrician, my like general practitioner, like I didn't go to a psychiatrist.
Even depresses you, too, huh?
Damn it. Like I had a therapist that was walking me through this, but she couldn't prescribe medication. I walked into my doctor's office. Before the doctor came in, they handed me a survey. Right. Okay. First of all, I have a master's in psychology. Like I know some shit. They handed me a survey to fill out. And when the doctor came in, he never looked at me. He took the survey from me, went, yep, you're depressed. Wrote out a prescription and sent me. He didn't ask me what was wrong. He didn't ask me if I was dealing with a therapist. He didn't ask me if I was making changes, like nothing. Like, yep, you're depressed. There you go. And I think in terms of just like society in general, like that is a problem. Right. However, like if you have a legit chemical imbalance, and you either don't have the strength, the energy, the inner will to make the changes that you need to make, then you need medication. Like, you need help. And I got off it as quickly as I did because I couldn't write. And even like, this was before I was doing it professionally, but it was it? Yes. It was before I was doing it professionally. And I just like that part of my brain wasn't working. And I was like, okay, I can't stay on this long term. Were there other medications out there that probably, you know, wouldn't have had that side effect? I'm sure at this point there are. But I had already started, like, I was feeling well enough that I was like, okay, I'll go volunteer. Okay. I'll go out and I'll do this. I'll meet new people. I'll change my job. I'll do all of these things that are impacting my mental health. And I was able to do that. If you need it for a longer period of time, take it for a longer period of time, but see a therapist. See someone who's like walking you through this. So it's not the only way that you're approaching depression or whatever you're dealing with. Like, don't just think like, well, I'm on a pill now. Like, I never have to do anything. I never, you know, I'm just fine. Like, here's my mood right here. Like, no excitement, but at least I don't want to kill myself. You know, like don't just settle for that. Get the help. Get the help, make the changes, and make it a goal, maybe, that eventually you do get off it, that eventually you don't need it.
And it should be that you're with somebody that you trust to prescribe these medicines. You know, it's like, to me, that's a big part of it is like,
yeah.
do they know me well enough? You know, have they taken the time to get to know me well enough to really say, hey, this is what I need? Because I kind of had experience like yours too. So I had this amazing therapist. Great. I met her. I decided, I was like, you know what? I feel like there's a lot in me that's broken. I need to get a therapist, you know? So, and I did. And there was a lot of me that was broken. But one thing she realized and she told me is that it's your voice.
Yeah.
You went through so much trauma, you never had a voice. You know, I always tell people my first memory is of being molested, you know? So it's like, and that's kind of how the rest of my life went. So it was true. I never thought about the fact. I'm like, are you? I'm talking to your ass now. Clearly I got a voice, you know, but you know, I wasn't like hearing what she was saying. And then we worked together for 2 years and finally she said, I can't see you anymore. And it was devastating. And I felt like it was breaking up with me, but she said, no, now it's time for you. She said, I taught you how to talk. Yeah. Now it's time for you to talk to the people that you love. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
I feel abandoned, but okay. I'm abandoned with purpose. Okay. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to start talking to people. And honestly, that's how the podcast came to be, because I started to realize that I have a lot to say, clearly, as you can see.
She's like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you didn't shut the hell up. Okay. I'm your guest. It's about me. Okay. Like, I'm trying to get some customers off of this and your ass won't shut up. I got you, Cheryl. Okay. No, we think you're dope. We think you're dope. And honestly, and I wanted to tell you too, I think your hair is amazing. I just like the first thing was about you. I was like in your pictures and in the YouTube videos.
Thank you.
Like, oh my God, her hair is like, amazing.
Like, thank you.
Okay, so just to let you know about that. But really getting back to a serious topic other than hair, is there anything that you wanted to say to our audience that we didn't allow you to say because I'm crazy?
You know, I just that you have the right to have needs. You have the right to express your needs, and you have the right to have your needs met. Right. And I think that's something that a lot of us go through way too long in our life, if we ever learn it, right. That we don't know. And it leads to problems. It leads to putting ourselves second, or third, if you are very religious. And I know they always say like, I am second, like, so edit that in your own head, if that's how you feel. But yeah, you get to have needs. as a human being. Like, you get to have them. And it's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you human.
Right. And you kind of deserve those needs met or fulfilled as well, you know? So it's like, you know, it goes back to what you deserve. And that is part of what you deserve. You deserve to be able to... Happiness is real. I feel like it should. You should be happy in this life. Like, we shouldn't be here in this detriment and sad every day and going crazy. You know, that's what I was telling you. So after my therapist, I was going through a little state of depression. And so I went to like another therapist. I was like, okay, I'm not done. You're lying. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not healed yet. I need to go to a therapist. So I kind of did the same thing. This time I went to a psychiatrist, same thing, questionnaire, prescribing medicine. I'm taking the medicine too. And I'm like, because they're like, you know, you're always in the house, you know, you spend all your time alone, you know, you don't really associate, you don't have a lot of friends. Like, these are things you admitted to me. So you're depressed. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm depressed. You know? So I'm taking this medicine. I'm like, I'm depressed. I'm telling people, I got this prescription. I'm depressed, you know? But then I started to realize the reason I don't go out is because we're in the middle of a pandemic. COVID is out this motherfucker. And just because like we ain't gotta wear a mask no more don't mean bitch, I got real. Like I had cancer. No, I don't go out, I don't want to. And then the reason why I don't invite people over is the same reason. And I clubbed so much in my 20s that I don't have the want to club right now. And I just don't meet a lot of people because people in this world are weird and crazy and psycho, and I don't have time for that.
He didn't have friends because he just moved here.
Right. Yeah. I just moved. So it was like everything they used against me to give me this medicine that I should not have been taking. So I kind of, and so I just stopped. I was like, dead, no more psychiatrists to me. But then I started and I thought about my old therapist and I was like, you know what? I'm going to start talking to the people I love, you know, and that's kind of what I did. But and that caused a whole bunch of other traumas, and we'll save that for another episode. So I'm actually going to go and we're going to get all of your books.
Thank you.
I want an autograph. So you got to figure that out, right? Yes. So, I don't know. I could buy them off your website. And if I do it that way, can you autograph them? Okay. Yeah,
my bad. Holler and book.
Well, we're going to get them all. We're going to get them all.
I don't know if you can see it. It's that bright orange. I never know how to point on these things, but it's whatever is over my head anyway. So
before we let you go, right, but you have to tell us one thing that nobody knows about you that's kind of like a, how you say it, like a guilty pleasure. Like, what is a guilty pleasure you have that you like wouldn't admit to nobody else? Like, I like Wham.
Like, what?
Wham, the group Wham. Remember Wham?
I was thinking of food.
I don't know. Like, I'm pretty much an open book. Like, I would mainline chocolate if that was available to me. Guilty pleasure. Okay. Phil Collins,
that's really not too bad.
No, it's not. Like, people pretty much know a lot about it. Like, I'm very open about stuff. Man, I have to think about that. Can I like email you at a later date with that?
Yeah, when you come back with it, you got to do a videogram so we can post it. Because now they just want to know what is Cheryl. Because everybody got somebody. Like, some people sleep with a box of fruit roll-ups. You know, I'm just saying.
I sleep with a stuffed penguin.
And your husband?
And two dogs? Yeah. So my penguin is about yay big. And he's like a perfect like pillow, like snuggly. So I have the penguin in front of me, one dog like by my like butt going down, my husband next to me, and then the other dog is either in between us or on his other side. Getting out of bed to go to the bathroom at night, which I do like four times, there's pole vaulting involved. Like, I know you can't see while I'm sitting, but like, I literally have to like flip over the dog. The penguin has to go. It's
one of those blind
things. How do you get back in? That's what
Right. It's a challenge. It is for sure a challenge.
I'm just going to say your husband loves you. Okay.
He really does.
If there was ever a question, and clearly there's not because you glow with love, but if there was after all of that, you know, I don't like animals. Oh, I hate to say that, but it's like the hair thing gets to me. Maybe it's a texture thing, but it's like I really don't. Maybe that's why I like fish.
Did you say apples? What did you? You don't like what?
Pets, animals.
Oh, I thought you said you don't like apples, and I'm like, what the hell? Apples have fur. Like, what do you know? You shouldn't eat apples with fur. Okay, got it, got it. You don't like pets. All right, I still like you. Like, those are some freaky ass apples.
Yeah, you are completely one of us. You are officially a member of the Talking Feelings podcast family. Okay,
you got to work with us in our day job.
What should we take? My God. Okay. All right. Yeah. No, they're amazing.
They're cute, and I watch videos all the time. Like my go-to when I am scrolling, when I need to have that clear my mind state, which I think we're all entitled to, you know, because people say scrolling is so bad and don't use your cell phones. And I don't think that's true. My personal opinion, sometimes you need to escape. And for me, it's cats. Cats are crazy as a bitch. They just be out here doing crazy shit. They just be crazy. Like, I watch like a cat like destroying, like knocking down Christmas trees. Plants. And like on purpose, like the cat was like, and the plant fell, and I'm like, damn. But that is my joy. Anyway, it's been a joy to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. I know you're like, this is probably the craziest podcast I've ever been on, and it is. But even in the moments of laughter, you taught a lot, and I got away with a lot. But it's pretty cool to know that it's okay to say no. But also, I thought of a cool lesson that if you can't help yourself, help somebody else, because in that you will find your value. And I thought that was a really dope message, and I thank you for giving that to our audience, to giving them your time. I will list all of your details. We're gonna get your book, Two Coloring Books, because Crystal wants more. And I'm gonna make her send you pictures that she colored. Okay.
Awesome. I love it.
Ask for this coloring book. We need proof that she's going to use it. Okay. And we'll list all your contact details in the episode. Right. And thank you so much for being on. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you next week. Peace, love, and blessings.